Get out of there. I'm trying. Get out of there. Anybody stuck in a place right now? You know that I believe throughout Scripture we see that God is always calling us out of a place to somewhere else. Out of the darkness into the light. Out of poverty into abundance. Out of pain into healing, restoration. Out of sorrow into joy. Out of the mess we get ourselves into. Out of chaos into calm and peace, right? We see it throughout the Scriptures. You can go to the Old or the New Testament. Constantly, throughout Scriptures, God is saying, get out of there. Get out of there. So are you ready to get out of there this morning? Wherever you're in, that's been holding you back from being all you are created to be? Yes? All right. This side of the room is winning so far. We're doing well. All right. I'm going to preach on this side. No. Sometimes we don't even know we're in a place sometimes, right? We get so used to it, right? Some of us get comfortable in pain. It's all we know. And we create it over and over again. It's because we always knew it back then, and we create it now because that's what we're comfortable with, right? Well, you're not here to be comfortable anymore, team. This is not a comfort zone that we have here at Christ the Cornerstone. This is an uncomfortable zone. All right, so put up your feet because I might step on some toes this morning. But are you ready to come get out of there? Are you ready to get out of the situation that you find yourself in? Some of us do the same thing over and over and over again. Yes? Expecting a different result. We know what that defines. We don't have to go there. But you're going to get out of there now, aren't you? All right, awesome. Let's go to Mark chapter 5, please, verse 1. And I just want to set the context for this particular story. In the previous chapter, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus gets in a boat with his disciples, and they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. And a big storm comes up. You know the story, right? The disciples freak out. Jesus does what? Walks on water. Does what? Stops the wind and the waves. And more importantly, calms whom? The disciples, right? Imagine this, Jesus even stops the wind and the rain. Kind of a powerful guy, don't you think? Yeah, right? So this is how the disciples, this is what they went through right before they land where we're going to take the story and pick it up. So there's going to be a correlation you might see here. So at chapter 5, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the land of Gerasenes. Just as Jesus was climbing from the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit ran out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the tombs and could not be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to control him. All day long and throughout the night, he would wander among the tombs and in the hills, screaming and hitting himself with stones. This man was definitely somebody who was suffering. Living in a cemetery, walking in the middle of the night around those tombs where death is, hurting himself. And he would often scream out and yell, so people chained him, tried to control him, to stop him from hurting himself or other people. So they put him into shackles. This is how people dealt with somebody like him. Lock him up. Chain him down. But the man was so strong, he still was able to break free of those chains, and he was at night just tormented. Throughout the night, screaming, hurting himself. In mental torment. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet Jesus and fell down before him. He gave a terrible scream, shrieking, "Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." So Jesus meets this man, right? And what does he start to do? What does Jesus do? He starts to speak to the spirit that's got a hold of this man. And the spirit starts to argue with Jesus and calls him the Son of the Most High God, right? "Don't torture me." See, obviously this demon could definitely admit and see who Jesus was and starts to fight back against Jesus. Sometimes, you know, if you look at it, that's a literal thing, but think about the things in our life that sometimes ensnare us or hold us back, or the pain that we sometimes find ourselves in and we get locked into it. And God is coming to us trying to help us. What do some of us do? A little fighting back, a little justification, a little, "Well, what are you trying to do? Change my life. This is none of your business. Leave me alone. I'm fine, just the way I am." What is Jesus saying? Get out of there. Right? He doesn't want us to be tormented mentally, physically, or otherwise, especially spiritually either, right? Then Jesus asks, "What is your name?" He's speaking directly, not to the man, but to the spirit inside the man. "What's your name?" And the spirit replied, "Legion, because there are many of us here inside this man." A legion, by the way, is about 6,000 soldiers. This guy's got problems, right? These demons are many. Too much for him. Too much for the people around him. Too much for Jesus. Is your problem too much for God to overcome? Is your situation too difficult for God to change? No. Is your issue and issues and issues and issues of you had all your life, are they too much for God to transform into something awesome and wonderful? No. Even if you have 6,000 problems? No. Some of it which are in... No. Okay. Sometimes who's the problem? We are, I am, right? Right. Jesus is on a mission. Then the spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. So the demons are arguing with Jesus, right? Don't send us away. Why are they begging not to go anywhere? Because they know that Jesus is going to be able to cast them out, don't they? Right? Demons like this home, tormenting this man. That's what demons do. That's what those kind of thoughts do. That's what torment does. That's what sadness and overthinking does sometimes for us, right? It's us stuck, doesn't it? Renumerating those same things over and over. Obsessing. Anybody here negatively obsessed by chance? Think catastrophically how bad things are? No. Okay, all right. I know. I'm not going to call them liars, Lord. It's okay. The spirits begged him again and again not to send them. Someday you'll admit what it is, right? Oh. You can blame it on the demons, right? There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the evil spirits begged. Jesus gave them permission. So the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake where they drowned. 2,000. How many evil spirits were there? 6,000. What happened to the other 4,000? We don't know. Evidently, all 6,000 went into that herd of pigs. You see what can happen when evil overcomes somebody or something? Destroyed the pigs, right? Just so you know, this is obviously a Gentile town. Because remember, Jewish people don't have herds of pigs. So this is a healing that Jesus is not doing for someone who's Jewish. In fact, he's a guy that hung out in the cemetery. He's somebody people forgot. He's somebody that people just put into a chain and did nothing to help him. You see the divine appointment that Jesus had with this one man. So the pigs go off the cliff and the evil spirits went with them. See, I look at it this way. Wouldn't it be great if God could take all your stuff out of your head and throw it into something and off it goes? Wouldn't that be awesome? You sure you want it to happen? The herdsmen fled to the nearby city and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. Oh my God, they just killed my pigs. What are we going to do? No more bacon to sell. Everyone rushed out to see for themselves. Sure enough, no more pigs. What's this crowd doing, the herdsmen doing? Who are they all upset about? They're pigs. Who was being tormented? The man. Do you think we got to get our priorities straight about which matters more? Remember when Jesus said that you are more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows? Remember that? So evidently we're more valuable than a whole 2,000 herd of pigs too, aren't we? So that's how valuable we are and you are. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, but they were frightened when they saw the man who had been demon-possessed, for he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. What just happened? Fully clothed, because in some of the other scriptures and the other gospels, a man used to be naked running around. So now he's fully clothed, perfectly sane. What a glorious day, right? Right? Those who had seen what had happened to the man and to the pigs told everyone about it, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Does that make any sense to us? I mean, I look at it this way. I'm a little bit off sometimes, and I've got my issues, right? And if I saw somebody worse off than me that God healed, don't you think I'd get in line and go, hey, Jesus, can I be next? Yes. Please, me? Huh? Me? Can you kind of get this stuff out of here, out of my head, out of my heart, out of my mind, out of my soul, out of my life? Can you kindly just straighten me out and make it okay, make me okay mentally, emotionally? Can you kindly calm the storm that's always within me and bring me peace? Some of us have the wind and the waves within us, don't we? Through our thought life, don't we? These people on the other side, though, they were afraid. Shows human nature, doesn't it? It just shows that some people just maybe don't want to change. Or I don't know. Maybe they're afraid of change. They don't know what's on, the fear of the unknown. What would it be like if I gave up this thought process or this habit? Or this addiction, or this way of living, or this way of being. This is the way I've always been, and what will I become and do after this? Fear of the unknown, right? Causes people not to want to change, doesn't it? Is there an unknown with God? Of course not. Does God have a plan and a future for you after the cemetery life? Right? But you got to get out of there. It's not okay to stay there. God's calling you out of there, isn't he? When Jesus got back into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go. Wouldn't you imagine? Right? Let me go with you now, Lord. He wanted a whole new life, right? He wanted to go follow Jesus at that moment, didn't he? right? Imagine. Healed of all that pain and torment, all those years that he was left alone, and he was just day and night, just whatever was bothering him kept bothering him, and he lived among the tombs, and he lived in the... In fact, he wasn't really living, was he? He was suffering. And now he's free, totally free. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed, free of all the stuff that was holding him back and holding him down. And Jesus was by far more powerful than that legion of evil spirits, right? 6,000 demons could not stop Jesus. Death cannot stop Jesus. Illness cannot stop Jesus. Loneliness cannot stop Jesus. He's always there to fill the void, isn't he? Always, always, always. And he asked, can I go with you now? Imagine that. He wants to get in the boat. Now, if I was one of the disciples after what happened the night before, I'd be like, I'm not so sure about this boat ride, Kai. If I were you, I'd stay on land. We just came through a terrible, horrendous storm. Oh, that Jesus stopped. But it's nothing compared to the storm that this man had lived through, right? You see that God wants to call us all out of our storms, all out of those places in our life where we are tormented emotionally, especially, overridden by guilt sometimes, or shame, or doubt, or fear. Right? God wants us out of those places, right? Jesus said to him, no, go home to your friends and tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. What does this man become? An apostle, an evangelist, a storyteller, right? Just think about the impact. No one else around there had met Jesus, right? Necessarily, right? And everybody else ran off. All the herdsmen, they told Jesus to leave them, right? But Jesus heals this man. Listen, when you've been healed by God in such a dramatic way, don't you think your story can be told to other people so they'll begin to believe too? When you come out of a bad situation and God's healed and helped you, and suddenly you change and grow, and people say you're different than what you used to be, don't you think that's a testimony about who God is in you? Are we all not evangelists then? I can't imagine what happened when he got home, right? Who knows how long it had been since his family had seen him? No one or nothing could ever help him but Jesus Christ. No one or nothing can help any of us besides Jesus Christ, period. That's the one we need to help us, to get us out of the situations that we're in, to also heal and restore us and to change us and grow us and give us life again. This man, that was really the first day of the rest of his life, wasn't it? And he was a Gentile. He was a guy that was living in the cemetery. He was a nobody that anybody wanted to be around. But you know how important he was to God? So important that through that stormy night, Jesus was on the way to meet him. They landed right at the place where the man was. And when we end this story, what you're going to find that takes place is Jesus gets back into the boat, and verse 21, he went back across the other side of the lake. Just think about that. Gets in the boat one time, goes through the night, through a storm, calms the winds and the waves, lands somewhere to save one man who's been tormented all of his life, casts the demon out of him, sends him home to his family and says, go tell everybody what I've done for you. Go spread the good news. Gets back in the boat, heads back over to the other side of the lake. One short trip for one man. Isn't that not something awesome? If you think that you're insignificant to God and your problems are insurmountable, or that everybody else is more important than you and their problems, you know, God's too busy and God's got so much going on, you know, the whole entire world needs God and you're just insignificant and you don't matter and God's forgotten about you. Think about this lake trip. Can you imagine those disciples? We came all the way over here to stop at a cemetery for one guy. We're going back over the lake again. Oh, my stomach is just recovering from last night. What does Jesus say? Yes. One soul matters. One person matters. No matter how we're pent up and held down and whatever the case might be, you matter so much to God that God has sent his son Jesus through this message this morning to tell you Jesus Christ is on the way to you to help you get out of the situation that you find yourself in that seems so impossible, that's lasted so long and seems like as though it'll never end. Today's the day. He's saying, get out of there. Come to me. You notice in the beginning of the story, as they landed, what happened? The man went out to meet him. Now, just think about that. Somebody who is tormented, probably not in his right mind, still is drawn to Jesus Christ. Now, the question is this. How much and how far would you go to get to God to get your problem solved? How far would you run? If somebody was trying to get in your way and try to stop you and hold you back from getting to your blessing, who's going to stand in your way? You positive about that? So are you ready to get over all the stuff you need to get over? Because some of us have some stuff, right? Some of us have a past that some of us can't seem to like break loose of, right? That's where some of the chains are. We're held back to that. The way we grew up or the way we were taught or who didn't love us and all that other stuff and all that pain and all that hurt and whatever it was. And it might not be all the way back to your young past. It could be as past as last week when somebody hurt your feelings or something happened to you or you lost something or someone that you love and you're stuck back there. And your thoughts begin to think and the darkness comes. And you're not sure how you're going to get out of this feeling that you're stuck in. I know how you're going to get out of it. You're going to run to Jesus. You're not going to walk. You're not going to make it like, well, let's see, I got to do the laundry. I have to have lunch. I'll just sit here and, I know. God's busy. There's somebody else worse off than me. If you are locked in a box with chains around it and no light, for those of you that have claustrophobia, sorry. But somebody started knocking on that crate. You think you'd go, I hear a noise. Wonder who it could be. I hope they don't want to get in this box with me. There won't be room. I kind of like this box. It keeps me safe. Nobody can get in. Nobody can hurt me in here. Nobody can help you or love you either. So many of us built walls to keep us safe, we thought, right, from bad people. Because there are bad people. I'm not saying there aren't bad people around. But is everybody bad?
No.
Are there good people in this world?
Yes.
Look around you. I think there's a few in here. Oh, no, all of them in here are. There's even some nice ones on Facebook. Hi. Right? Boxing yourself in, walling yourself in keeps what? Good out. Keeps love out. So just answer the door. And even as strong and forceful and powerful as and just heavy that door is and that box is, it's not too strong for God to get in, is it? He can stop the wind and the waves. He certainly can cast out 6,000 demons or more. He can also open up your heart and open that door and set you free. So when you hear the knocking, say, come in, come in, come on in. And bam, everything breaks loose. And what do you do then? You jump out of that place, don't you? Because Jesus is calling us all to get out of there into his light. So the question becomes this. Have you been waiting long enough to get out of there? So today's the day you get to get out of there. Are you ready to get out of there? Let us pray. God, for anyone or everyone who feels trapped, who feels held down and held back, who's been dealing with the same issue over and over and over in their life, and they want a new way. We know and believe and trust that you, God, can take the old and make it new. You can make us new, God. No matter what has held us back or held us down or kept us thinking that we can't have more or be more, we come against those thoughts now, and we come to you this morning, Lord Jesus. As you step into all of our lives right now, whatever's inside of us that is resisting, we know you can overcome it. And so, God, we know and believe and trust that whatever's within us, you can take out of us so that we can be set free. And we thank you for that. And as you take all those things out of us, God, and set us free, bring your spirit within us. Fill us with your love, your peace, your calm, your joy, your everything. Help us, Lord Jesus, this day to be at peace, whole, restored, and have a new life beginning right here, right now, as we step out of the place where we were into a new life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so now, as God's touched you, and if you've really ready to get out of here, so that's when people really, you know, there is resurrection. People come back to life right at the end of the sermon. It's a resurrection every Sunday. But watch God change your life for the better. Watch it. And have people watch you. And if people wonder what the heck happened, you used to be like this and now you're like that, you can tell them, I met Jesus. I met Jesus. And he took everything out of me that used to be something that held me back. And he set me free to live my life to the very fullest. Amen? Amen. Amen.